Thanks to our trio of men leading us in worship this morning as we've been singing together. It's been a lot of fun. Well, welcome to Flannel Sunday 2. This is our second annual Flannel Sunday, or, you know, as I like to refer to it, Year of Flannel, because I think there really should be such a thing, a Year of Flannel. You know, this is the, you know, we've had the Year of the Child. You know, some cultures celebrate the Year of the Cat. I like Year of the Flannel. I think that's really appropriate. I am a very strong believer in practical illustrations. And if you're wearing it, I think you might remember it. At least I hope so. And it just seemed like the flannel and the chili lunch that we're having after church go together very perfectly. Kind of like Batman and Robin, or pickup trucks and country music. Or like peanut butter and jelly. We could keep stretching this analogy for a long time, but you get the point. Last year, on this Sunday, we talked about how God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And that maxim is still true. Through Scripture, God seems to go way out of his way to pick the most unexpected people to lead his people and to do great things for the kingdom of God. Whenever humans pick, what do? Well, we pick the shiniest, we pick the best, we pick the wealthiest, we pick the silk and the satin people, we pick the successful business people, in some cases the greatest influencers, regardless of whether that influence is positive or negative. I think of King Saul, good-looking guy, successful in battle, saw himself as a great decision maker, had a great resume, but he was a terrible king. He was the wrong choice. You know, God doesn't usually choose the silk and satin people. When God chooses, he almost always chooses the flannel people. He almost always chooses the ordinary, down-to-earth, often flawed, even the rejected people to do the great things. So when he chose the right king for Israel, who did he choose? He chose David. He chose a shepherd boy, the youngest, shortest, most rejected of the family. When the brothers were all called to battle, to go battle the Philistines, they all went, and everybody went except David. And it's okay. We got this, bro. We're the real men. You just go look after the sheep. You know, we got this. Of course, we all know how that turned out, right? David arrived to bring his brothers lunch. He saw what was going on. He said, enough of this nonsense. And while the whole army of real men stood around shaking in their sandals, David went down and got three small stones and a sling, and he defeated the giant. Why? Because he trusted God. That was the key. Ordinary man, an extraordinary thing. Well, today our scripture is 1 Corinthians 12 and verses 4 through 11. If you have your Bible, you might want to turn to that. We're going to have it up on the screen here if you don't, and that's just fine. That can be your Bible today. And here's what it says. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in every one is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, and to another, knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. So another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits, and to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, as he distributes them to each one as he determines. Now, but before we go any further, let me see if I can pick on a few people. Steve Long, would you stand up for a second there? Would you stand up? Now, notice the color of flannel that Steve's got on, right? So let's see if we can find anybody with red flannel on. Could you stand up? Just, yeah, right there. Oh, and back there too, guy's got, okay, and even those two. Notice that they're both some red in the flannel, but they're different patterns. In fact, if you look around, you'll notice that Thank you. You can sit down. You'll notice that around the room, as we have a number of different people wearing flannel this morning, they are different colors and different patterns. I mean, even us, you know, in our house at Christmas time this year, Bonnie made sure that there was lots of red and black flannel. Notice I don't have that on today, because Mommy dresses me funny. And today, she dressed me in blue. Kathy made comment that she'd like to have this blue, and I like it too. It's really nice. But there are different colors and different patterns within the spectrum of flannel. Well, guess what? In God's house, there are many patterns and many colors. And I'd like you to keep that in mind as we look at this passage this morning. The first thing I'd like you to notice from this passage is this. Everybody has a gift. Everybody. What's your gift? Do you know your gift? If you're a Christian believer and you're born again, then you have a special gift. You have a gift that's been given to you by God to serve Him and to serve others. And part of the passage we just read says this: there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. It implies that everyone has a gift. I like the way Eugene Peterson does it. You know, sometimes I read Eugene Peterson and he makes me laugh out loud because he's trying so hard to, you know, to be contemporary. But I really like the way he words this passage. Here's what he says. He says, each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. I think he nailed it right there. Everybody is a gift. Sadly, not everybody believes it. But it's part of a bigger picture that we call the body of Christ. We've been studying in the book of Acts for several weeks in a sermon series that we're going to pick up again after Easter. But we've been talking about how Acts is the continuation of all the things that Jesus continued to do and to say. Except that, you know, in Luke, Jesus does the talking and doing. But in Acts, it's the apostles who continue to speak Jesus' words, and they do what Jesus said he would do. Now, we get the baton passed, and the baton is passed to them, and then from then down through generations to us. We are the body of Christ. We are literally the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus in this world, and we carry on his teaching and his ministry. That's why he gives you special gifts and, as Peterson says, something to do for Jesus. It's brilliant. It's God's plan. A lot of people don't know what their gifts are, and I think that keeps them from using them. But each of us is supposed to use them. And so if you don't know what your gifts are, you can find out. There are a couple of different ways you can do that right here. You know, Eric would love to, as the head of ministry here, he would love to be able to give you a short quiz that will help you to know what your spiritual gift is. Or you could talk to Shelley. Shelley is gifted in this area, and she loves to help people find their gifts, so you can talk to her about it. She'll point you in the right direction, because everybody has a gift given by God to serve him. Now, the second thing I want you to notice here is that everybody is important. Everybody. Now, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and 14, those three chapters are very connected together in one big theme. They're all about spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. Now, in this case, they're about trouble brewing with the spiritual gifts that are going on in the church. In the Corinthian church, some people seemed to think that they were a little more important than everybody else. And particularly, it was those who more obviously had the supernatural gifts, like speaking in tongues. That's the example that's given. They were using the gift in a way that was kind of disruptive, and it was very self-focused instead of God-focused, and instead of focused on enhancing or encouraging the body of Christ. Paul helps us to see that all the gifts are important. Now, it's easy to see how a supernatural gift might be thought to be the most important. You know, it stands out. It shows it's different than what anybody else has seen before. By tongues, I should explain, Paul means a couple of different things here. There's different versions of tongues, like the one that happened on the day of Pentecost. In some situations, a person was suddenly able to understand and speak a language that they were never taught, something they couldn't possibly know, and yet they knew it in the right circumstances. They knew it when it was needed, you know, and so they were able to understand not only the people who were gathered on the day of Pentecost, but be able to share Jesus with them in a way that they would hear and understand that. You know, and I've heard of this happening in modern settings too. I remember in one of Brother Andrew's books about, God's Smuggler and some of those books about sharing the Bible behind the Iron Curtain before that whole change in the Soviet Union. In situations where he walked in and did not realize that he was being heard in another language. And he was able to share quite freely as the Spirit enabled him. So I believe that still happens today in some circumstances. Another version of tongues is a language that seems to be an unknown language, something without understanding. It seems to suggest, and some people will call it a prayer language. And Paul says, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit." See, this is that kind of tongue that he's talking about right there. Sometimes tongues come up in prophecy, but Paul says it's not really valid unless somebody interprets that tongue. And he points out, one shares a tongue, another interprets, meaning that the one who gets up to speak the tongue is maybe speaking something prophetic, but they should not interpret for themselves what they say. If it's prophecy, God will confirm it by having somebody else interpret it. And that's how we know it's a supernatural gift. Now, in the end, he says, gotta reset that alarm. In the end, he says we should seek the higher gifts, implying that it's not as important as people think, or at least the supernatural gifts are not as important as people think. And here's what he says about that. He says, but in the church, I would rather speak five intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Now, I go to the problem or the trouble of explaining all of that because I think sometimes we get to thinking that the gifts that we have are not as important as the gifts that other people have. Some people's gifts are very upfront. Some people's are very showy. Some of us are very loud and we stand up here, you know, and others are much more quiet. And some of them are people with gifts of prayer and faith and things like that, you know. And we don't see those gifts as obvious. They don't stand out. We see the surface. Everyone is important. Not just the people who seem to have the most important gifts. Your gift, the gift that you have, is just as important as the person sitting next to you, and just as important as the person standing up front, and just as important as the guy who's on television, or the person who's got the big blog on the internet, or whatever. Your gift is just as valid as anyone else's. When I was working in disaster relief, I was there I was in Jackson, Tennessee after one of those major tornadoes that they've gotten through there, and they've had more than one. And we were there to see something really special. Normally, my job when I was working that, I would come in right after the disaster and I would take photographs and video and I would travel around and I would take that back and we would use that to raise money and raise awareness about what had happened. But I never really got to see the end of it. And so my job kind of was depressing in that I would never see the good stuff I would only ever get to see the bad stuff. So one day my boss said, well, you're in Tennessee. Why don't you stay down there and see, you know, what happens at the end? And so I was there on the day when they presented the keys to a house that we had built, rebuilt, for a woman who had lost her house completely. It had been razed to the ground. So we ended up building a brand new house for her. And it was built mostly by volunteers. These are people who came and used their practical gifts to do a very good thing. You know, and some people, you know, I was there on a job site one day and just carried bales of insulation and helped mud a wall and do, you know, simple things like that. And it was people who gave their time to do those practical things that made those houses go up. You know, it was kind of cool. Sears came in, they donated all the new appliances. And this woman, who had not lived in a house quite this quality before, she was in a house she had never dreamed she would live in. When she received the keys to that house, that woman wept and wept. And it was a beautiful thing. It was a God moment. See, God uses ordinary people to do something extraordinary. The message that God was sending on that day in Tennessee was a simple one. Through the work of those people, God said to that woman, I love you. That was the message. The last thing I want to point out this morning is not only is everybody important, but everyone is needed for God's plan. Now, ultimately, God doesn't need us to do his stuff. I mean, he could just wave his hand and everything would happen, right? But that's not the way God designed it. That's not the way he planned for it. His plan includes every single person. Everybody is needed. God's plan is for us to reach the world for Jesus. It's the only plan. He doesn't have a backup plan in case the church kind of doesn't work out. That's not the way it works. And God's plan is flannel. Didn't know that, huh? God's plan is flannel. Not just the black and red kind, but every different kind. Paul says, the body is not made up of one part, but many. He says, now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, what would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But if, in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Many years ago, when I was in Bible college, between school years, I worked for a husband and wife psychologist in a group home setting, worked with children who were diagnosed with mental health struggles. And every Sunday, the whole house, the house parents, the helpers, the kids, we all went together to church. And so this went on for a while. For a while, I went to church. And wherever I was serving, if I was serving in a particular house, I would go to the church that everybody else did. And for a while, I went to a church in Niagara Falls that was pastored by Peter Wins, who was Derek Prince's grandson, at least by adoption. And one of the members of the worship band came down he became very, very sick with cancer. He had a tumor, and that tumor, it almost seemed like it was growing weekly. It was just getting bigger and bigger. But he was absolutely sure that God was going to heal him. I mean, he was convinced. And so he would ask for prayer every single Sunday morning. And so every single Sunday, Peter would call him up and they would anoint him with oil and they would lay hands on him and they would pray. And then finally, it was the week for the surgery. You know, the pastor and the elders and the other church leaders, they'd all prayed for him. But on that Sunday, Peter said, does anybody feel compelled by God to pray for Mike? And this man got up from the back row and walked all the way down to the front. And I'm sure everybody who watched him walk up thought, why in the world is he getting up to pray? He was basically a homeless man. He was living in a motel that was owned by the church, and he earned his way by doing odd jobs. And he might have been the last person in the world they thought of who would get up to pray for him. But they let him come up, and they let him lay hands on Mike and pray for him, which he did. Well, Mike went in that Tuesday for surgery, and before surgery, as they do if you've had surgery, sometimes they'll take, you know, x-rays and extra scans and things right before they do it just to confirm exactly what they're getting into and where they're going in. And they got the results back, and the doctor called off the surgery. He called a halt. He said, it's not needed. We don't need to do this. See, the cancer was gone. Every speck of it. There was nothing there at all. Now, I can't begin to tell you why God heals some and doesn't heal others. I don't really understand it. I do know that every time God heals, it's for his glory. It's to reveal himself, especially like tongues and other miraculous things, especially for the unbeliever, so that they might believe. Well, God used that homeless man to heal Mike's cancer. I think on that day, God might have been teaching us a lesson. You think? Paul says, and this is really important and relevant, he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. A little farther down, Paul says this, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 55 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways. God picks his servants differently than we would. He turns things kind of upside down. He uses the lowly to accomplish really great things. He uses fishermen, tax collectors, and political zealots, and doubters, and biker types like James and John, the sons of thunder. And God even used carpenters like Jesus to save the world. We are flannel people. We are the flannel people that God uses, the ordinary people to do extraordinary things for his extraordinary purposes. And we come in all colors and patterns. And each one of us is called and needed and wanted by God for his purposes in Christ Jesus. Father God, I thank you for a plan that includes flannel people like us. Let us be your church in the way you designed us to be. All the colors, all the patterns included. Lord, show us our gifts. Reveal them to us. Teach us how to use them. And we pray that you will empower them by your Holy Spirit to do your will. We ask these things, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.